It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, HBR1 stations every Friday afternoon. We put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and to others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we have a returning guest, Mental Health Kōkua. It is the largest mental health nonprofit in the Aloha State. They've been providing services for more than 40 years, and that includes offering support to those who are both homeless and mentally ill. They have a number of locations, 30 houses across the state on all the major islands. They were among the organizations benefiting from the December 2016 Helping Hand for the Homeless Benefit Concert, you may or may not recall, in our HPR Atherton Performing Arts Studio with Jake Shimabukuro, supporting the Coalition of Homeless Service Providers Partners in Care. We are thrilled to be welcoming back the CEO of Mental Health Kōkua, Greg Payton. Aloha, welcome back.
Hey, aloha, Dave. So good to be here.
It is great to have you here. And guy who's been on Helping Hand with us a number of times and has been helping out people in need here in the Aloha State for a while. It's an organization after all these years. And do I have the number right? 30 houses across the state?
Actually, since the last time we talked to you, we actually now today, as of today, we have 42 locations statewide.
Wow.
Kauai, Oahu, Hilo, Kona, and Maui.
And the organization, for folks who are, a lot of people have probably heard this name, but unless you're in trouble or need to help somebody in trouble, sometimes you just kind of, that's not information. You're just, I go on to the next piece of information that fits, you know, where I'm at in my life more. Explain who Mental Health Kōkua are.
Well, we've been, as you said, we've been here since 1973. Not many people remember 1973 or admit they remember 1973. We've been here for a very long time, earning the community's trust by providing services for people who have behavioral health challenges. And primarily, our anchor programs have been housing programs for adults with serious and persistent mental illnesses. These are lifelong mental illnesses, and we provide services for people to get back on their feet again and then move them on into independent living.
When it started back in 73, was there... and I know you weren't. When did you join the organization?
About 10 years ago.
Okay. We're not going to be dating Greg back to 73. But when it started in 73, was there a homeless aspect to the mission of service?
You know, it's a funny thing. It actually started because of that. There were a lot of people who were discharged from psychiatric facilities, state institutions, those kinds of things. It was called the deinstitutionalization movement back in those days. And it was a good idea without much infrastructure for it. So one of the organizations that helped provide housing was Mental Health Kōkua. We started with one house on Sierra Drive back in those days, and that house is still there to this day, and it's one of our licensed facilities.
And those work by having some staff members there supervising the clients. In a nutshell, how does one of these houses operate?
It started off with volunteers, and over time, we've graduated the program into different levels of care. So we have 24-hour supervised houses, semi-supervised, independent living houses, which we call supported housing. And we also provide other services as well, such as psychiatry, nursing. Case management is one of our programs on all islands, and we also provide what's called an intensive outpatient program, where we serve folks that have what's called a dual diagnosis. They have a mental illness, plus they have some kind of a chemical dependency.
The funding that you guys get, in addition to people who are so generous and appreciating your role, your roles in the communities that you serve, how else do you guys get your funding?
It's a mixture of funds, as most nonprofit organizations have, and so we are very indebted to Department of Health, the Adult Mental Health Division, for their longstanding contracts with us to provide housing services. We also have services through HUD. We have several HUD houses, 13 of them statewide, as well as our Safe Haven program in downtown Honolulu, which is funded by the HUD Hearth Act. We're also funded by United Way. On each island, we have... The people have been very, very generous over the years, and we've had long-term standing with each island provided United Way funding for us as well.
That's incredible. So much. It's so many different sources, huh? That's a real full-time job to administer how to make your mission work and get the intake of all these different avenues.
You know, they often say without money, there's no mission. But for us, we've been very blessed. I think the programs that we offer, they're effective, they're efficient, they work, and people see that and are willing to keep funding it, and we feel very blessed.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Latest point in time count, people have been talking about that recently. And as for the Honolulu area, and however you want to look at the numbers, are things essentially where they were a year ago, at least in the Honolulu area, or is there some quiet successes that you want to point to?
You know, the overall, there's the point in time count overall statewide has decreased a little bit. So we've been making some successes. On Oahu, it has stabilized instead of increasing. And for those who may not know this, the numbers have increased since for many years. Since about 2008, they'd gone up 25% to 30%, and they've actually stabilized and gone down a little bit in various areas. So we're feeling like we're on the right track. And one of the keys to that success has been having a housing-focused approach. So really the last three or four years, really focusing on primarily on the program everybody's heard about, Housing First, which is putting people into housing without having a lot of criteria or hoops to jump through. And the other is something we call rapid rehousing, which is that's for those folks who just need a little bit of assistance to get off the street. So rent subsidies are Housing First. Rapid rehousing is maybe first and last month's rent, getting utilities started, getting just a little bit of money for like the first 6 to 9 months just to kind of get people back on their feet again. And a little known fact, and this is very true across the country, about somewhere around 19 to 20% of the homeless population are actually working, but they do not make enough money to support a place to live. So that's where rapid rehousing really comes into play. People live in their car and go to work. This is a way for people to actually get back on their feet, get into a place, and be, if they're working full time, they ought to have a place to live. And so that's what the purpose of that program is.
And so are some of those successes with the Housing First and the other things you're pointing to a result of the legislative agenda, or is that a separate ball game in terms of the way you look at that?
It's been totally an impact of both the state legislative agenda that's happened, as well as local counties who've also pitched in and provided services that they had not provided before. I think the one thing that's been very, very helpful, and we can really point to Partners in Care, and Jake's concert really brought some awareness to this as well, is that we now have kind of a business plan for homelessness, and that is having a coordinated entry system where we have we do outreach, very intensive outreach with people, with adults, with families, with kids, trying to get them into services, and then having actually a housing program, a placement model where we can help support people like Housing First, rapid rehousing. And what's critical then following that is to have the follow-up services afterwards to be sure that we can sustain that. Because without the follow-up services, people may not know where to turn. They may not have a network of support for themselves. And this is a way for us as providers to be able to help those people maintain and sustain housing.
Right. So it's basically, it's not just getting them into the housing. You got to be like, and then from here on, we're going to be with you as this journey progresses.
Exactly. And what I've been so, we all said this last year in particular, both Partners in Care, which is Oahu's continuum of care, as well as Bridging the Gap, which is the neighbor island continuum of care. What we've all said is how intelligent and smart our elected officials have become over the last couple of years. They've really done their homework. They've stepped up. And so you can see that. In the legislative agenda for this last year, there was money set aside for homeless outreach, to continue housing subsidies for Housing First, and then to develop affordable housing units. So that continuum of care, we didn't have to advocate like we did in the past. We supported the testimony. We helped people craft bills, but they got it. They know this stuff, and they know it both on the county level as well as the state level. A quick point, thing to point out is the amount of money that was put in. There's a separate amount of money this year for homeless outreach for youth. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not a population that Mental Health Kakua necessarily works with, but it's important for overall for us to know. Homeless youth and runaway youth is a big, big problem. It's probably one of the biggest secrets of the homeless issue in Hawaii and other states as well.
And Mental Health Kokua is 18 and above.
Our primary mission has in the last decade or so has pretty much focused on adults 18 years old and older, yes. The other thing that came out of the legislative session from this last year is some dedicated funds for outreach, and part of that money being focused on a program called LEAD, which I would like to tell you a little bit about. LEAD is the Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion Program, which actually got its start in Seattle, Washington, many years ago. And the basic idea for LEAD is to provide a, it's kind of like a jail diversion program. So it, what it happens is instead of somebody, a homeless person being arrested, they're given the opportunity to have an intake. That's the only criteria, is just to have an intake versus being arrested. The results have been very, very positive for the programs in Seattle. 58% of the people were less likely to be arrested after being in the LEAD program. 82% were homeless. 55% received drug treatment. What we're hoping to do this year with the funding that was offered this year is we're hoping to provide a couple of pilot projects here in Honolulu to try out this LEAD program. Now, that's not just Mental Health Kukui. It's us working with our partners in care, so other nonprofit providers as well. The CHOW organization, the CHOW Project, is actually taking the lead on LEAD, and so they're helping to promote this. We are partnering with them, and we're going to try this out in Chinatown, for example, as a way to see. It's a close-knit community, and we have good relationships with many of the merchants, the neighborhood board, police departments, and what we're hoping to do is to see if we can have similar results to what Seattle had a few years ago.
And when you say an intake, so the police... The police come, the police have arrived on the scene. There is a homeless person who is the subject of what they're, who they're about to deal with. And rather than arrest that individual, they're going to then take them to a home. How does it describe what an intake is and what the difference is between the situations?
They could make a referral to us. They can give us a call. We're on the streets all the time. We could probably meet up with them. Any variety of ways, any portal we can find to get that person in to see us. And then what we will do is to try to help engage that person. It may be if they meet our criteria, which means that they are homeless people with mental illness. That's about 30% of the total population of homeless people. Then we would do the intake ourselves. If it looks like they might be eligible for other services, we would engage another partner. Likewise, another partner in care, they might make a referral to us, for example.
And that would be, but it would start with the HPD is in on the whole LEAD thing, right? Because they're the, if it's law enforcement, excuse me, if it's law enforcement assisted diversion, and you correct me, I'm just trying to make sure I totally understand this because I think it's fascinating. So the cops start, it starts with the cops. The cops are there, they're on scene, then they make a call and say, we're going to divert this. We're not going to just haul this person in. Is that, do I have it right?
Exactly. It takes up a lot of unnecessary time for the police department. Mm-hmm. It's one more issue that the homeless person would have to deal with as being arrested. And so this way, they can divert that person into a different level of care. Oftentimes what happens is once the person realizes that there are services out there, they're willing to engage, depending on the level of acuity that the person has on the streets, what their health situation is. So what we could do then is bring them into services. So, for example, let me just give you a quick scenario.
Sure.
What might happen at Safe Haven Chinatown, for example, with Mental Health Kukui, the police department would hand them off to us. We would do an assessment. We might be able to engage them to come into our activity center, have a meal, come in each day. After that, come to us instead of being on the streets and work with us. Maybe if it's appropriate, we could encourage the person to see a psychiatrist, one of our psychiatrists, and we could get them on medications, and we could start that road to housing right there.
And all of that is without any cost to these people.
That's correct.
So psychiatric help, medication, counseling, food, potential shelter, all these things. So it's if somebody is in need, there's a wide range of pretty incredible resources.
And those are all part of the services we talked about earlier that have been legislated through the county, through the state, and through United Way. So all those programs help come together to help provide this safety net of funding that we can help get those folks off the streets.
When does LEAD, Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion, when will you begin the Chinatown pilot?
The pilot will probably take off late summer, early fall. And we are right now working with trying to get our partners in the community, everybody trained to kind of understand what the program is going to be. We're meeting with individually with different folks. We'll be making some presentations later this summer. And it's an exciting program. It's something new and different.
No, I mean, it's one step. It's a step away from criminalizing homelessness and utilizing the law enforcement in a real collaborative way. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious how cool it is just hearing about it. But that does sound like a, you know, it has a lot of benefit in terms of not diverting the police resources to deal with that, but also psychologically trying to do a better service of folks rather than, I mean, they have a mental problem. They're on the street. They are disabled in some way, and they're on the street because of their disability to some degree. And so, to not have them have to be on the other end of law enforcement like they committed a crime is, to me, a huge step up.
And it's also, as you can, just if you just think this through, if you're a landlord, if you are an owner of a property, and we're trying to place somebody, you know, a landlord's going to say, okay, you want me to place a homeless person in my unit? And when I have people that have good credit, good jobs, and why would I place a homeless person on top of that? They've been arrested for various things. And we can say, well, they've actually not been arrested. We've taken them into our facility, our services, and they are really wanting care, and we can provide the ongoing services and support. So it's very, very attractive to landlords. Once again, just to make that pitch, when we actually engage landlords, and we have many of them now who are, as well as other providers, who are willing to give testimonials, we guarantee the rent, we guarantee 24-hour support for those folks, and we guarantee any fixing of any repairs to the unit. So you don't get that with regular tenants. So it's a good insurance policy for us.
It's a call to all people who have property that want to reach out to Mental Health Kōkua and talk more in depth with Greg or whomever about taking a role like that in the community, because that's kind of like the police. That's like expanding your role of goodness in the community, because now that's like such a good thing to see the police do something like that, just like to see a landlord say, you know what, I'm going to call and figure this out. Maybe I can play a role.
And you can see the difference. This year's point in time count, for the first time, we really have curbed this, and we're well on our way to ending homelessness in Hawaii.
Clean, and I want to give some kind of like this is a new thing that's coming in the Honolulu area where the epicenter of homelessness is in the Aloha State. I do want to give some exposure to a program on the Valley Isle, which we may or may not have talked about previously. It's hard to remember. You've been on a few times, but Clean and Safe program on Maui. Explain how that's working.
You know, this was a brainchild of the county. So I give total credit to the county of Maui for putting this together, this idea. A retired police officer there got the contract to do this program called Clean and Safe. It's not a new idea. It's been done in many other cities across the country. The idea being two things. The clean part is actually hiring homeless people off the streets and putting them back to work to help to clean up the streets and the areas. And so it changes the perception about who these people are. The safe part is actually having what we call ambassadors, or people that are there on the streets, staff people that are working, and they, as soon as they identify somebody, they will make a referral to us, and then our outreach people will engage that person to services. So it's kind of a little bit like the LEAD program, where instead of somebody getting in trouble, local merchants reporting people to the police, they report them to our Clean and Safe staff, and then we engage them right off the streets. So it's been an interesting twist, because we started this last year, and we've placed a couple of dozen people into various kinds of part-time work, got them off the streets. We're getting them housing now. And so now the local merchants in the Wailuku area, for example, in Maui, what they've discovered is the same people that they used to complain about being on the streets in front of their businesses are now cleaning the streets in front of their businesses. So it's been a huge turnaround for them and for their perception. These are people to have. Unfortunately, life has just gone the wrong way. And so this is a way for them to be able to actually see how people's lives can turn around, and that these are people that have had lives and jobs and careers and families before who are now turning around their life to be proud, productive citizens.
It sounds like a huge, huge positive thing. It's stunning to hear, really. It's nice to hear some good news occasionally, and you've toted along a little today. When we think of, so obviously you've put a few seeds out there, people who have property and could be potential landlords, or people that could call or reach out to you when I give your contact info. What are, when you're doing like downtown with the Safe Haven, or on the broader scope, so there are probably hygiene supplies that people could donate to you. There's probably other kinds of clothes for people who are just coming off the street. Obviously, cash for Mental Health Kokua's efforts. But being the CEO, you know better than me. What's the list of things that we can put into people's heads in addition to volunteering that you think you want to share today?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. As you said, housing is always a top priority. So finding affordable housing. Again, if you are a landlord in the area or a property owner and you'd like to take a chance by housing somebody who is homeless, you can give us a call at 737-2523. We'll be happy to take your call and route that. You can call that from any island and we'll be able to identify resources in the area. If you have an apartment or a unit of some kind, we're looking at usually like studios or one bedrooms, and I call them the three R's. We guarantee you rent, repairs, and response. So we will pay the rent on time. We will, if there's any repairs or damages, we'll fix those, and we have 24/7 response to any of your needs. So that's one thing. But then there's nothing too small here. When we think about somebody going out on the street, you can think about someone just getting started in life for the first time. What do you need? You need everything. So if there's, for example, if there's kitchenware, dishes, pots and pans, silverware, anything like that you might have, clothing for adults, men and women, furniture, anything at all that might be of assistance, we would be happy to take that and return it. There's nothing. You may think it's something to throw away for the people that we serve. It's something that they're very much in need.
So kitchenware, clothing, furniture, obviously real estate, and a huge call out to people who could come in and be involved in the program. Any other striking needs? Do you need anybody else for your board? Do you need anything island specific at the moment?
You know, one of the things that I want to give a shout out to a couple of people that have been very, very helpful with us. For example, the Metro Rotary came and helped paint our building, our new building in Chinatown that we're moving into, as well as Mercer and Marsh Insurance. They also, some of their staff came out and they also painted. If you have a civic group or a club and you would like to take us on as a project, we always have things just like that, projects that are very, very necessary. And if you are willing to do it, we have the work for you. So step right up. We'll be able to put you to work right away.
Here's how to get in touch with these good folks. It's mentalhealthkokua.org. You can give them a call. Greg gave the number. The number is 808-737-2523. Call that from anywhere in the state. And they can connect you with the resources that will be locally available if you want to support something right in your community. If you have a particular offer for them, something that you want to help them with. Obviously, they're looking for properties to put people in, and they'll guarantee you a quick response. They'll repair anything that goes wrong. They'll pay the rent. It's the three R's, as he calls them. Furniture, lightly used clothing, hygiene items, kitchenware. Wherever you are in the state, if you have any of that and you can spare it, it'll go towards people that they're trying to help start their life again. You can get all of their contact information. Is there an email address too that you guys like to use?
Well, you can just contact us at the at our website, and you can find all the contact information there.
At the website, you can get email information, contact form there. At our website, HawaiiPublicRadio.org, we've got all their contact information, the radio feature, the full interview, and all of our other previous Helping Hand guests. It's Greg Payton, CEO of Mental Health Kokua. Is there anything else that we need to get in there that we have not covered today?
I just wanted to mention we usually serve about 1,600 to 2,000 people a year. Almost all of them have been homeless before coming to see us. Last year, in addition to that, we placed 150 people right directly off the streets into housing. We'd like it to make it 151 this year.
It's huge stuff. It's a great organization and a real thrill to have Mental Health Kukua back on Helping Hand. It's CEO Greg Payton and doing great work in the community. Super impressed. Lots of positive stuff, as always. Thanks for being an inspirational figure, Greg.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to be here, Dave. And thanks so much to Hawaii Public Radio.